All right. Good morning, everybody. Praise the Lord. Good to be back with you again one more day. Thank God for the opportunity, Lord, to stand behind the sacred desk. You know, I count it as a privilege from God to be able to do this morning. And, you know, I just feel for my congregation, for the sheep that are in my congregation, that, you know what, I pray that God continues to help us to lead, to guide, and direct. And I hope this morning the sermon, Lord, will be part of that. I got to ask you something, and I'm going to ask you again here in a little bit, but what's your goal in life? What has been your goal in life? What has it been? And sometimes that can be a question that can be painted in so many different directions. But I'm going to read to you some scripture this morning that tells us as Christians what our one true goal should be. And we're going to go, if you would turn to Philippians, the third chapter. And when you get there, we're going to read the 4th through the 11th verse. And if you're able this morning, please stand. I know, as Tim said, we've been up and down this morning, but you know what? Let's stand in honor of God's word here this morning. Philippians, the third chapter, we're going to begin with about the 4th verse. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he has whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, an Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss. Yet doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now, I want you to look at these next 5 words, and I want you to understand, this is the goal of every Christian, or it should be, that I may know Him. Amen. That's it. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might obtain unto the resurrection of the dead. Can I tell you something this morning? That no matter what goal we have established out there, the biggest goal for everybody that is a Christian is to know Him more. Amen. That's it. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I come with thanksgiving in my heart this morning. Lord, I've come, Lord, this morning to praise You and give You the glory, give You the honor that You so rightly deserve. And Lord, I ask You, Father, this morning to be amongst the hearts here this morning. Lord, I pray that You would take this message. I pray, Lord, that it would go out the way that You would have it. And Lord, most of all, get me out of the way, Lord. And I will give You the praise and the glory for it all. And I ask it in Jesus' name. And amen. And amen. You may be seated. And thank you. I want you to understand a little bit about what's going on here. It had been about 30 years since Paul was saved on the road to Damascus, whenever he wrote this letter to the Philippian church. And he's writing this letter, he's reflecting on what his life was like before he knew Jesus. That's what he was doing. And listen to this life that was like before that. Listen to what his life was like before the road to Damascus. Paul trusted in his own ability. It said this, if I have confidence, it said, in the flesh. He had confidence in his own ability. There's a lot of people out there today that have confidence in their own ability. They think that they're smart enough. They think that they're good enough to do this. They think that they're this. They think that they're that. I'm telling you, Paul realized that that didn't mean anything to him. Paul had all the religion any one man or any one woman could have. He was religious beyond doubt. He was religious. It says he was circumcised the eighth day. It said he was raised in church. Can I tell you this morning, to know Jesus is more than just being raised in church this morning. You got to have a desire to want to know Jesus with everything that you have in your heart. He was circumcised of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, he was a Pharisee. Brothers, he knew the law. He knew the Bible. Can I tell you this morning, the devil knows the Bible. Can I tell you this morning, there's a lot of people sitting in houses of God across this land today that know the Bible. They know of the Bible, but they don't know the Word. They don't know the Word giver. If anyone had the right to boast about going to church and never missing church, Paul was that person. He was it. And boasted upon his upbringing and boasted upon his Bible knowledge. Paul had all that. He could boast about it all. It says in Acts 22:3, it tells us that when he was thoroughly trained in the law by one of the best in that day, and I believe his name was Gabriel, he was trained by him. He knew the law frontwards and backwards. I can assure you, according to what the Bible tells us about Paul, according to the Jewish tradition, Paul was a fine, upstanding young man. He was fine according to the Jewish law. Can I tell you something this morning? Being good does not save you. I know I say this a lot, but you could be the best person sitting in church today and be the best person to go to hell one day. You got to know Jesus as your personal Savior. You got to know Him. Listen, as the last word in Acts 3:6 tells us, according to keeping the law, this man was blameless. He was blameless, or he was faultless, is what it says. Paul knew the law, but thanks be to God, he come to know the lawgiver one day. And with that resume, Paul had goals in his life. He was on track to be a teacher of the law. He was on track to stop. One of his goals was to be a teacher of the law. Another one of his goals was to stop all Christianity and stop it completely. In Acts chapter 6, he was there when Stephen was stoned. He was one that held the coats of the ones that did it. In Acts chapter 8, it tells us he would go from house to house and drag Christian people out, and he would take them before the law, and then they would have them thrown in prison. He thought he was doing right. Can I tell you something else this morning? There's a lot of people, and I hope it's not nobody in here, that think they're right. Can I tell you something this morning? Salvation is a no-so salvation. It's no-so. It isn't I think so. It isn't maybe. I'm telling you, if you're sitting here this morning and you have any little bit of doubt in your mind, I'm telling you, you need to get to an altar of prayer somewhere. Because I'm telling you this morning, it is a no-so salvation. He thought he was doing right. But one day, he saw the light, he heard the voice, and he felt the touch. He had all that happening. He went from persecuting followers of Christ to going out there, and it says in 1 Corinthians 2:2, "For I am determined to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." He went from persecuting the church to saying he didn't know anything out there. He was never the same after coming to know Jesus Christ as his Savior. He was never, ever the same after that. All those previous goals that Paul had, they all changed. The moment that he come to know Jesus as his Savior, they changed. He tells us everything he had done before his conversation was all done. You know what that translates out to? That translates out to dog doo-doo. That's exactly what that means. Everything that he had done, and Paul put it in his words, he said, it translates, everything that I'd done, all that translates out is to dog doo-doo in his life. All the things that he had learned, all that. I'm glad that one day, whenever this old boy was on the road to hell, Greg, I saw the light, I heard the voice, and praise God, I changed my goals one day. Amen. He saved me, Mary. He done a work in my life, and I'm here to tell you this morning, he can do that work in your life. And I'm telling you, from that moment on, that 16-year-old boy, from that moment on, my life changed. My goals changed. I had a different set of goals in my life. And you know, I praise God for that this morning. I'm glad for that. Praise God. I'm glad for 2 Corinthians 5:17. How about you this morning? When it says, therefore, if any man, or can I add woman, be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. All things become new. Thanks be to God. It didn't matter what I did in the past. He didn't save me because of who I was. He saved me because of who He was. Praise His name this morning. Aren't you glad for Romans 5:8? And God commanded His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While I was at my worst, I didn't know this, but while I was at my worst, Jeremy, Jesus Christ had died for me. While you were at your lowest ebb, while you were at your worst, while you thought that you were worthless, Christ died for you. You may be here this morning, and you may be thinking that, you know what, there's no good in me. I'm just about as worthless as it can come. Can I tell you this morning, God died for you. Jesus Christ died for you. He sent His Son to die for you. Listen, what got me thinking about this is a couple of different things. When I'm talking about goals, this past Wednesday night, when we had our Thanksgiving service here, Jamie's testimony was one of them that got me thinking about this. Jamie said this in his testimony. He said he was telling us that he was hoping to catch X number of, I believe it was bass in a year. And he said that he got to go out one more day, and God allowed him to do that. God allowed him to do that. And also, me and Tink got to talking about this, and this is no circumstance about that, but me and Tink got to talking about something in our life. You know, how many of you ever thought about that you had like kind of like a little bucket list in your life that you would like to do? Like little goals. I think we all have little things like that we'd like to do. One of the things that we got to do here a few years back was, now you may think this is funny, but we got to run in the turkey trot at Parkersburg. That had been a goal of ours all of our life. And here, you know, and one day, one time he said, it come up work and we could get into it. And I said, okay, let's do it. And that was a goal of ours. But we did it. And I thank God that He allowed us to do it. And we were talking about that a couple of days ago. And God said, you know what? Sometimes we put these goals out there. And goals is not uncommon. We all set goals for our life. Maybe to exercise more. Maybe to eat better. Maybe to read our Bibles more. Maybe to pray more. Maybe to do this more. Maybe we set certain goals. And let me state up front, goals are not a bad thing to set. They're not. But as I said to you here this morning, I'm not here to be critical of people and their goals. But listen, Christians, we have one goal that Christ wants us to do, and Paul stated it, is just to know more of Him. Listen, as a Christian, we should give this goal as much attention. Me and Tink need to give this goal as much attention as we did in running the turkey trot. Or as we have in going and visiting this place, or whatever it may be, we need to give that perspective. That just should change our lives right there. Paul said nothing else matters but knowing more about Jesus. When things were, he says, but when things were gained to me, those I counted a loss for Christ, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. For if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, the greatest goal any Christian could have is to know more about Jesus, to experience him more. Have you ever experienced Jesus Christ in your life? Now, I can't answer that for you. And I'm not just talking about salvation. We've done, if you're saved here, you've experienced that. But you know what? The experience doesn't stop right then. Am I right? It doesn't stop right there. The experience, it is, do you want to experience more? Do you want to have fellowship with him more? There is no higher goal for a Christian than that. Now, let me ask you this today. Are you working towards that goal? That is something you have. That is a goal right there that I think God wants everyone in here to work towards. I can't look inside your heart and pull back and look in. You know this morning if you are the one working towards that goal. I don't want you to look at your spouse. Your spouse has got their own walk. It's you. It's you. Are you working towards a goal of knowing Jesus more? I can't know Jesus more for Tink. And she can't know him more for me. We've got to walk that walk ourselves. Ephesians 3:17-19 says this: that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, and the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Then to know the love of Christ. Listen, Ken, the moment I got saved, I felt the love of Christ in my heart. There was no love like I experienced that day. But can I tell you something? I keep knowing that love. It isn't something that's just a one-time thing. I can still experience that love in my life. I still feel him as he puts his arms around me from time to time and says, Dave, I love you. Listen, Paul wasn't talking about head knowledge. He was talking about heart knowledge. Up until his conversion, Paul had the head knowledge. I always remember Okie Koontz would always teach around here about a gentleman that he knew. That's Michelle's dad. Most of you know who he was. But he would always teach in here about he knew a guy that knew the Bible, talked to him all the time, but didn't know him as his Savior. Just knew the Bible. I'm telling you. People can have that head knowledge. Folks, we need less commentary on the Word and more communion with the Word. Can I have an amen? Amen? Amen. I got commentaries in my office at home. I've got commentaries like you can't believe. I've got all manner of stuff if I want to look something up. But can I tell you something? Tony, whenever I want to know something and really want to know it, I get on my knees. And I say, Lord, I want to know. I've read this. I've read it this way. I've read it. I want you to show me. And you know what the Bible tells me in 1 John 2:27? It said, but the anointing which ye have received and abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it has taught you, ye shall abide in him. And it says over in John 16:13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. And he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will shew you things to come. Brother and sister, I need less commentary and I need more communion. How about you this morning? How about you? Listen, I'm glad. I'm glad for Patty and Olita. I'm glad for the saints of God in His church. I'm glad for Greg and Jamie and Ken. And I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for all of you in here and all that your knowledge that you have. But brother, when it gets right down to it, it's God that's got to show us. It's God. Listen, I've known a lot of good people down through the years. I've had some good preachers, Hayward Gribble and Danny Jeffries, and I knew some good preachers today, Alan Stewart and Tim Bell, and I could go on and on and on. But brothers, sisters, listen, some of those people have already passed on. They've already gone. And I'm glad I can talk to my wife about things. I'm glad for all the resources that I have. But nothing compares to having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. Nothing. Nothing. To know Him more. To know of His Word more. John 1:1 tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then John 1:14 tells us this, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I wrote this down. I never studied this out, but I wrote this down. This right here has the DNA of Christ all the way through it. Amen. Amen? It's alive. It has the DNA of Christ that goes all the way through it. Listen, all 66 books of it, every 7,800 some odd words, and I wrote 32,000 verses, every bit of it has its DNA in it. Brother, we can know Him. We can know Him. You may be sitting back there this morning and you may think to yourself, you know what? What's he talking about knowing Him? I'm telling you, when you get into God's Word and you commune with Him, and brothers and sisters, Paul tells us we need to know Him. We need to know the Word of God. We need to know it. That I may know Him, every bit of it. That I may know that He is the one. That He is. This Word is true and faithful. Aren't you glad that the God of all glory desires to have a relationship with you? Big enough to create the heavens and the universe and everything you see in it. But praise God, honey, He wants to have a relationship with us. Amen. Praise His name this morning. Are you not glad for that? He redeemed my soul from hell and death that I deserve. He did that, but thanks be to God. It says over in Psalm 420, He brought me up also out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay and set my feet upon the rock and has established my going. We don't deserve anything that we got. He wants you to know this, though, that He wants to have a relationship with you. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, what did he say he would do, Patty? I will come into him. And he said, we'll sup with him and he with me. That tells me, Greg, he wants to have supper with me.
Amen.
He wants to have supper with us. He wants to have a relationship with us. He wants us to know him that well. That you know what? That he wants you to come in and sit down with him once in a while and have lunch with him and have supper with him and have breakfast with him and go with him. That's what he wants. That's how much he loves us. That I may know him. That you may know him this morning. You can know him just like Paul said. Just like Paul said that you could. How do I know that? Because Romans 2:11 says this, for there is no respect of persons with God. That's why I know that. That should be our goal, that we may know him. That we may know him. Not about every Facebook post. Not about every new diet and every new weight loss plan. Not about every player and statistic of your favorite team. Not about every new sale. Not about everything that's going on at Walmart. Not everything that's going on at Amazon Prime. I want to ask you a question. Thank you, Lord. In the last 3 years, how many of you memorized a church, a Bible verse? Yeah. How many of you memorized a Bible verse? And yet we say we want to know him? Bless your heart. And yet we say we want to know him. Listen, I failed this miserably too. Jamie, I can rattle off numbers from other stuff. But sometimes, you know what? I got to have it written down in front of me. That's old my on me. Amen? Do you say you want to know him? Do we really want to know him? Some folks can tell you all about everything that I mentioned and even more. There's nothing wrong with that. But how much do you know about him? How much do we know about him? Listen, the main goal of every Christian should be to know him. And through the witness of his word, and with the word and prayer and fasting, I'm telling you what, we can know him more. We can know him more. That's how you get to know him. Outwardly, when we get to know him more, can I tell you something? It's going to show. You're right? You get to know him on the inside, you're going to want the world to know that you know him. You'll stand up in church and you'll testify once in a while. You'll get out here in the world and you'll testify of Jesus out here in the world. Listen, Paul was telling us, he gave everything up so he could know Jesus. Listen, we have a lot in our lives. I'm not apologizing for what the Lord has done for us and probably in your life. But listen, Paul gave everything up to know more about Jesus. He gave it all up. Now let that sink in for a little bit. And it's hard sometimes for us. I'm not just pointing my fingers at you. I'm talking about everybody. Sometimes it's hard for us to come to church once in a while. Or to read our Bibles, or to pray once in a while, or do a number of other things. Paul gave it all up to know Jesus more. I'm asking you this morning, do you want to know Jesus more? That I may know him in the power of his resurrection. Praise God this morning. I know the power of his resurrection this morning. I know that. How do I know that? Because he dwells in my heart this morning. Listen, in the fellowship of his suffering and being made conformable to his death. David said this over in Psalms 24. Psalms 27:4, it says this. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to require his temple. David is saying, if I could ask one favor of you, God. Just simple. What's this for? If I could ask one favor of you, God, I want to know more about you. Have you ever got on your knees and just asked God for that favor? You know, we're good about asking God for everything else, aren't we, Ron? We are. God, help me with this. God, Lord, this. God, have you ever got on your knees and said, God, just let me know more about you. Love you. Just let me know more about you. Paul, I guarantee you, you love Amy. You try to find out everything you can find out about her. You know, you try to do your best. I know we all fail at that. But we try to do our best, right? If you love somebody, you try that. You want to do that. If you love Jesus, you're going to want to know more about him. You know Jesus, you're going to want to know more about him. You're going to want to know more about him. David is saying, if I had one favor to ask, just to know more about him. And to have fellowship with God as they come. Brenda, as you come and get a song this morning. I'm just about done. Thank you, Lord. I say this quite often. But as a child of God, you should be growing and you should not be standing still. I guarantee you, Lita's not where she was at when she got saved. Amen. There's a growth. Patty's not where she was at when she got saved. I can go around this church. My wife's not where she was at when she got saved. I'm telling you, Patty, you've not where... I look around here, Rodney, and say, you're not where you was at when you got saved. If you are still the same place where you got saved, you need to find out what's going on. Do you desire to know more about him? 1 Peter 2, 1 and 2. And I'll end with this. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Have you tasted that the Lord is gracious? He wants you to grow. And I can take you to other scriptures. He doesn't want you on the milk very long. Forever. He didn't want that. Should get a song here this morning. Let me ask you, do you want to know more about Jesus? Do you want to know more about God? I want to ask this morning, and I know this is kind of, I want the whole church to come up this morning and let's pray. Because I think it's that important. I think it's that important to know more about God. If you have a need this morning, I want you to come and get with me, and I'll pray with you. But I want the whole church also to come up this morning and pray. If you feel, come on.